Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see y'all today, and I trust that we're going to receive a blessing as we worship together. This morning, as we look through the announcements, please note that the Wednesday night dinner venue is in your bulletin. And if you're astute, you may be saying, but John, I thought you said we were not having Wednesday night dinners on the first Wednesday night. And I did, and that is true. But with being November, we're going to have Wednesday night dinner the first and second Wednesday nights in November. And then the rest of November, we're going to give the cooking teams off. So that's why the change. So please note that we will have dinner this Wednesday evening, and that menu is printed in your bulletin. Please note that the Bible study will continue Thursday at 4 o'clock. If you'd like to come, volunteer at COTS. The dates are November 4th, 5th, and 6th, and either sign up sheet in the bulletin board, in the fellowship hall, or call the church office. Please note, next Sunday we will be observing All Saints Sunday, and you may recall that due to COVID last year, we could not properly observe All Saints Sunday. So next Sunday we will be remembering those of our loved ones, members of Walker Church that have gone to be with the Lord in 2020 and 2021. So please make note of that. It will be for 2020 and 2021. United Methodist Women will meet Monday, November 8th at 10 a.m. And please note, there'll be one service only on November 28th. That will be at 10 o'clock. That is the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So we'll have one service at 10 o'clock on November 28th. And one item not in your bulletin, it's just one of those little things to try to make things a little more convenient for folks. Every once in a while, one of us may have a coughing fit and feel like we need to step out. Be glad you can step out. I've had coughing fits in the pulpit. It's no fun. But the bottom line is, I know most folks carry cough drops with them, but in the event, say, you do have a coughing spell come over you and you need to step out, we've placed a few cough drops on each of the on tables as you come in, if you don't have them with you, and it might would find that helpful in such a situation. Are there announcements? I have one more announcement, but it will be a little bit longer. I'll keep it as short as possible, but it'll be a little bit longer. But are there any other announcements that need to be made before I make this last announcement? Okay, if not, we are have been updating the sound system here in the church in the recent past. And one thing we're adding now is a system for hearing impaired. This system works through the sound system. So I've got two different ways to show you, and don't worry about remembering every bit of it. You can ask Ken or myself individually about it. If you want to know all the technology, it's in here, but I'm going to give you just a thumbnail sketch on basically the operations of it. We're not going to be asking people if you want one, but when you come in the narthex, when you enter the church, they will be available in the narthex. Just ask the usher. It works. This is the main component that you would pick up. And what it is, and then you would turn it on with the little, right here with the little thing, and it has five settings on it that will work through the sound system, so that if you like what you're hearing in the sermon and you want to hear it better, you can turn it up. If you don't, then you can turn it down. So it works in two different ways. One is, You have earbuds. Some people call them earphones. Technically, they're earbuds. And you plug it into this apparatus in the little spot right there. And then you turn it on. You put the earbud in your ear. And it would work through the sound system. And you can adjust it on your on this apparatus that I'm holding in my left hand here. For sanitation reasons, what we would do is, say somebody at 8:30 uses one, and then turn it back in, of course. The felt piece, earpiece, will be taken off, thrown away, the unit sanitized and another felt tip put on. So if you have good quality earbuds, we don't guarantee it 100%, but these work with many earbuds. If you have good quality earbuds with a jack, it will not work with wireless, but with a jack, and you just like to bring your own earbuds with you each Sunday, you can do that. Then all you'd have to do is pick up this little piece and plug it in. If you would like to have your own earbuds that come with this component, you can order that. You also would be able to order those through the church. Now, you may wear hearing aids, and you say, you know, John, I can't have a hearing aid and an earbud both stuck in my ear. We've got a remedy for that. If you have a T-coil in your hearing aid device, and you can find that out by asking your hearing doctor, and if your hearing doctor says your hearing aids have a T-coil device, they can help you activate it. Same principle, you take this jack, put it in here, and then you put this around your neck, little button here on the front, just push it, and then the sound system somehow works through this apparatus and will go straight into your hearing aids to increase the sound. It is necessary that you have something called a T-coil, as I said. Please ask your ear doctor if you have that in your hearing aids, if you are not sure. And if you do, they can activate that for you. And then this that goes around your neck can be used as well. One thing I do like about these, besides the potential of making folks be able to hear better, is that we had someone use them last week, and after they got the earbud in their ear and set the component down, didn't even know they had it. So these devices are much more discreet too if there's any self-consciousness involved in that. I'm not going to try to explain it any further because I'll just repeat myself, but if you do have any specific questions concerning it, Ken is the best one to ask. If he's not available, you can come to me and hopefully we can help you learn how to operate them. And find them beneficial. We're starting out with four components. If it turns out to be successful and helps folks, and we need more, we'll order more. So, but these will now be available for you. With that being said, we'll now enter into our time of worship. The Lord has promised that whenever two or three are gathered in His name, that He is with us. So we know as we have come now, this is one of those Sundays when we are few in number. But guess what? Holy Spirit's still here. Holy Spirit's still going to speak to hearts. Holy Spirit is still going to encourage hearts. The Holy Spirit is here with us. So let us gather now and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that indeed your sweet, sweet spirit is in this place. And so we pray that our hearts, our minds, our souls are open so that we might hear your communication to us and you might receive our thanksgiving and praise. As we continue, we pray that you were pleased by what you see and hear from your people and that this time strengthens your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. We'll sing 1, 2, and 4. Let's stand as we sing.
That's printed in our bulletin. Allison, do you want to speak to your niece?
Yes, you've all been so caring and asking about Annie for so many years now. She's 4. She had a surgery this week, and we're on, like I said this morning, we're on third base headed home. This will be one of her last surgeries. They had to go in and take cartilage out of her ribs and rebuild her throat. She's in the history books because no child has ever gone through this type of surgery. But after church, I saw her mama had posted that even though she's now old enough to understand what's going on, she's still her usual little goofball in the hospital room. So she's just laughing and having a good time. But we're getting within a year of her no longer having to wear track in her throat.
Amen.
Definitely a praise. Thank you. Are there joys or concerns that should be expressed that have not been? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that you have assembled the church together. We thank you that indeed you are in our midst. And so we pray that as your spirit communes with our spirit this very moment, that you are pleased by what you experience. That as your spirit communes with our spirit, it's our heart's desire, and we pray that you are pleased by the love you find. That you are pleased by the adoration you find. That you are pleased by the praise your people desire to offer you. And so, Lord, we just thank you that your Holy Spirit communes with each of us. And so I just pray for all of us this morning that as our spirits commune together, that we know that we are in the house of the Lord, that we know that the Lord is here with us in a special way. We are so thankful that you are with us in every single moment of life. But we thank you for the special communion that takes place when your people gather and gather for the purpose of worshiping you, gather for the purpose of seeking you, gather for the purpose of hearing you speak to our hearts in every facet of the service. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that as we receive, that our hearts are in that place that we do receive what you would say, for we know we all come with different needs this morning. We know that some of us need to be encouraged. We know that some of us need to be motivated. We know that some of us need clarity as we face difficult decisions. So, Lord, wherever we are this morning, I pray that each individual feels your touch and hears your voice. And we're so thankful this morning for how you have blessed Annie over the years. She's had a tough start, but Lord, you were there from when she took her first breath. And you've been with her every step of the way, and you've given doctors knowledge and skills to which they have brought her from what could have been a devastating place to, in the near future, a life of normalcy. And we are so thankful. And Lord, in that assurance, we also bring before you the other names and situations that are upon our prayer list, and still those others that are upon our hearts, known only from that heart to you. We pray your healing touch upon each one. And gracious Lord, we thank you as always for the freedom through which we are worshiping you. Men and women over the generations have given their lives, have sacrificed their health to preserve this freedom. And men and women are in harm's way even as we worship this morning, some in military roles, others in civilian roles, standing in the gap. Others are just a contact away. We pray that you protect those who protect us, that your healing is upon the wounded, the visible wounds of the body and the invisible wounds of the heart, mind, and soul, and that your peace is upon each family whose loved one made that ultimate sacrifice. And we pray that we will never take our freedom for granted, but it will be something we appreciate and we always treasure and seek to use for your glory. And we thank you, Lord, for the family of God that serves, that worships, that fellowships through Walker United Methodist Church. You have blessed us beyond measure, and we pray that in response, we will be a blessing to this community and even the world. And when we leave these grounds, remind us consciously that you are with us. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and bring us back, so that we will worship you and encourage one another. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I am a preparation. Is love lifted me? Let's stand as we sing.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deep he stayed within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea read my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now saved am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. Love lifted me. I give, ever to Him I cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praise to sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Me when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saved. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, your people bring back a portion of the financial gifts that you have lavished upon each of them. We pray now that your blessings will continue upon each gift and giver, and that you will guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and even throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Oh.
Scripture lesson this morning is Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is another one of those easier to understand than to live passages. The point is crystal clear, at least it appears to be so to me. The Jewish law and the Christian faith can be summed up very simply: love God and love people. That's the point. But as is so often the case, it is far more easily said than done. Understanding and doing do not automatically follow each other. Loving is not always easy. Now, an out we like to give ourselves is this: I can love somebody, but I don't have to like them. Technically, that is absolutely true. I can't point any fingers except this way. I can only speak for John. But the more John thinks about why he doesn't like somebody, the harder it is for him to love them. I like to think I can love somebody, and not be able to stand them, but in reality, I typically find that as I think about why I don't like somebody, reality is, if Jesus and I were talking heart to heart, I probably don't love them either. It's difficult, at least for John. If you haven't conquered, I truly salute you. And love is a choice. Love is not automatic. Love is a choice. You know, I am so glad this morning that Jesus removed so much of the burden of being in relationship with God. We are not burdened with all of the sacrificial laws. We're not burdened with all the ritualistic laws. One can rightly argue that the Christian does not have to worry about right and wrong. St. Augustine went so far as to say, "Love God and do what you want to." So if I just love God and I love people, I've got it made. Jesus made things so much easier. Jesus made things so much simpler. The conversation of Jesus and the scribe was, I believe, not one of an antagonist attempt at a clever question trying to trap Jesus. Now, many times the religious leaders do so. But in this particular context, I don't believe that's what's taking place. The ancient rabbis, as we are well aware, had dissected the law to the point that no one could remember all of the rules, all of the rituals, all of the regulations. I'm not sure they did themselves. They knew where to find it. But at the same time, The rabbis tried to summarize the law into a single sentence. So such a discussion between rabbis would not have been unusual. Now there was one silly convert to Judaism. He challenged Rabbi Hillel to explain the whole of the law to him while he, the convert, stood on one foot. So Rabbi Hillel said, "What you hate for yourself, do not do to your neighbor. The rest is commentary. Go and learn."
Amen, brother.
So, again, this conversation probably would not have come across as a trick question. And you recall Jesus' answer to the scribe's question about the greatest commandment. The first is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." The scribe would have immediately recognized Jesus' answer, because Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. So at this point, Jesus has simply repeated what any Jew, particularly one as highly educated in the law as the scribe, should already know. The first declaration is, there is only one God. Now again, in this setting, in the Walker Sanctuary, in this setting, most of us would probably say, "Well, John, yeah, I think that's kind of obvious." But this obvious statement does merit a reminding moment of something we already know. And that is, whatever has our supreme allegiance is our God. I want you to hear that again. Whatever has our supreme allegiance is our God. Now again, in the setting here in Walker Church, the answer seems obvious. But a more accurate test would be to look at our daily lives. Now as we look, we realize that first, we all have many competing important responsibilities, and sometimes the lines of priority get blurred, and many times those blurred lines of priority will depend on the circumstance of the moment. We all have either worked or still having to work. We all have family responsibilities. We all have chores we have to do at home. Many of us have accepted responsibilities in the church. Others have accepted civil responsibilities as well. And many serve in volunteer efforts in various areas, to name a few. And we realize, secondly, looking from the outside, one person cannot judge the motivation or sincerity or of another. So looking within our own heart, looking in our own soul, consider, what is my ultimate, supreme, number one priority? Now, I don't doubt for a moment, as you're listening to this, that in all, every single one of you, and myself included, in all honesty and sincerity will answer, of course there is only one God. And of course that one God is my priority. But it behooves us on occasion to take an honest inventory of our priorities and our allegiances and examine if we have unintentionally may something or someone else God. Now this is so important for us Christians in America, because I have never met anyone, now they may exist, but particularly in the church, I've never met anyone who will worship a stone statue. I've never met them. I've never met anyone that will go to a store and buy a little trinket and put it on their shelf and worship it. I've never met them. Our temptation to idol worship in the United States of America is so much sneakier. Our temptation to idol worship is not as obvious as idol worship would have been for the ancients. And then notice the extent of the call to love the one and only God. Succinctly stated, we are to love God with every essence of our existence. Some real quick definitions. The heart. The heart is the place of our will and our desires. So all of my will and all of my desires are to be pointed toward God. My soul. The soul is the place of the true essence of who we are as a person. The call is to point that toward God. Our mind. Our mind is our intellect, our thinking, our capacity to reason. All of that is to be pointed toward God. Our strength, our physical capabilities is to be used pointing toward God. So perhaps the best test of our love for God might not be where we spend our time, might not necessarily be where we spend our money. Those are good indicators, don't get me wrong. But they may not always be as they appear. I have mentioned before a lady in a former congregation. Some of you may remember. A lady in a former congregation did not attend church near as often as I thought she could and thought she should. Now, I at least didn't say anything, but that's what I was thinking. Until I found out that 90% or better of the Sundays that she was out, she was practicing what I was preaching. Things aren't always what they appear. So we will come closer to an accurate assessment of if we examine the motives behind our actions. Another reminding moments. Actions that are grand and noble by appearance can actually be conducted because of selfish motivations. I never will forget a lady in a former church. She had done something good for the church. But the secretary didn't give her what she felt like was the proper recognition in the bulletin. So we were standing outside the door getting ready to go into a Bible study one night. And she said, "Did you notice what so-and-so did to me?" And I said, "Well, you know," I said, "I've heard it said that we can accomplish a lot if we don't care who gets the credit." Woo, if looks could kill. Well, she walked into the Bible study that night because she felt kind of trapped. But she didn't come to any more. You see, we can serve. We can serve endlessly. We can serve tirelessly. We can accomplish some great things that may even make a difference in the kingdom of God. But who are we seeking to glorify? There's the motivation question. Am I working tirelessly to glorify God, or am I working tirelessly for people to say how great I am? Am I working tirelessly in the church to glorify God, or am I working so that people say, "Well, I just don't know what we would do without so-and-so"? We can be doing some great things. But if we're seeking recognition, if we're seeking the motive, if our motivation is the recognition of ourselves, the actions are not serving God. They're serving self. On the other hand, everyday actions that are mundane by appearance, motivated by love for God, motivated by a desire to serve God, motivated by our desire to love people, is actually serving God. Therefore, if we are serving God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, everything we say, everything we do, even everything we think is motivated by our love for God and seeking to honor and serve God in every minute thing. And Jesus continued his answer. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater. There is no other commandment greater than these. Can you imagine what it would be like if we all loved God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves? Imagine employees doing their job, seeking to honor God and love God and love their employer. Wow. Imagine if employers treated their employees the way they want to be treated. What if employers treated their employees as a mechanism of loving God, of honoring God, of serving God, and therefore love their employees? I wonder what the workplace would be like if both of those were taking place. Imagine spouses treating each other in such a way as to every word they said to their spouse, every action toward their spouse, they were seeking to love God, seeking to honor God, and seeking to love each other. I wonder how different some households might look. Imagine church members seeking not what the church can do for them, but how they may honor God and love God as they love their brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll wonder what that congregation might accomplish for the kingdom. Imagine neighborhoods where neighbors weren't measuring how tall each other's grass was, where neighbors weren't measuring how tall each other's mailboxes are, where neighbors weren't worried about what color each other painted their houses, but their concern is honoring God, loving God, and therefore they love their fellow neighbors. They love their neighbors by love. They love God and they love their neighbors in that process. I wonder how much different our neighborhood association meetings might be. Amen. Imagine a town whose citizens seek to honor God and love God and their fellow citizens as opposed to drawing political lines. What if our town loved each other and our desire was not seeking to have my will be done, but seeking to honor God, seeking to love God, and by honoring God and loving God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I love my fellow citizens as myself, and therefore I want what's good for them. I wonder what that might do to the crime rate. I wonder how different council meetings might be. I wonder what it might be like to live in that town. Does this sound like fantasy? Perhaps. I prefer to consider it a dream. Now, what's the difference? I interpret a fantasy to be something that I would like to see, but there's no way it's ever going to happen. I interpret a dream to be something that, though it may be far-fetched, it's still possible, because through God, all things are possible. Now, granted, you and I cannot change the world. Someone may go so far as to say, well, I can't even change my own household. That may be true. But we can allow God to change us. The more that we as individuals can love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, the better chance we are going to have of positively influencing our sphere of this town, our sphere of this world, our little corner of the neighborhood. Remember a little saying of Jesus? A little bit of leaven. Not much. A little bit of leaven raises the whole batch of dough. So I wonder if it started with just a few of us. Just started right here. That everybody that's present this morning, and maybe somebody who's going to hear this recording over the net, what if it started with us? What if we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves? What if it begins with us? Perhaps we might get a glimpse of the fulfillment of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. May all of our prayer be that such will begin with me. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know us human beings. Right now, I feel like I could say I just love you, and I love my neighbors. But when I step out of these doors and step back into the concreteness of life, and I deal with neighbors who don't like me, or I deal with persons that I deem to be unlovable, it becomes a bit more difficult. But Lord, I just thank you so much this morning that all things indeed are possible. And I would pray for myself and anyone that would agree with the sentiments of this prayer, that day by day we would grow to love you more and more and more, so that we do reach that place where we do love you with every fiber of our being, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. And perhaps, Lord, you would use us to help elevate our little bit of society. So, gracious Lord, forgive us when we have not loved you with all of our being. Forgive us when we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. But from this point on, raise us up and lead us more and more and more into that perfect love. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our final hymn is More Love to Thee, O Christ. Let's stand as we sing.
Hear thou the prayer I make. jaspers, then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be,
and the fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.